Sometimes we think God can't handle our honesty. Today, Pastor Ray Bentley says he can.
There come times in your life where you can't fold your hands and say nice little spiritual prayers. And in fact, if you're really going to get honest with God, you don't want people to hear. God loves that kind of prayer. God gives you literal, tangible evidence that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He shows up.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. God made us the way we are. Why wouldn't He love us the way we are? He does, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. And today we'll see prayer is one of the tools He puts in our pockets to help us get to where He wants us to be. Let's learn more now as Pastor Ray brings us today's study in the Word of God.
James chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 20, talking about the power of prayer. This is our last message in the book of James. And I'm kind of sad to see him go. I've really enjoyed the book of James. Have you guys enjoyed this? It's been a great message, timely message, and really have been blessed by it. Now, in verse 16, here's where we pick up where we left off. He says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He talks about here two things. One, confessing your trespasses to one another. And then he talks about prayer, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And what I want to do is, first of all, talk about prayer. I'm going to kind of turn this verse around a little bit and just talk about the basic issue of prayer. What difference does prayer make? It makes all the difference in the world. I think that we underestimate and don't understand the genuine power that prayer represents. There is a verse in the Bible that basically says it like this. You have not because you ask not. You didn't ask. Ask that you might receive. And it's very important that God could do everything without us asking anything, right? He knows everything. Why does He want us to engage in this deal called prayer? And it's very simple. Prayer is a spiritual word for a divine heavenly conversation. In other words, our Father, not just God, but our Father wants a relationship. Just like fathers want relationships with their own family and with their own children. The Bible says pray without ceasing. You say, well, yeah, okay, that's got to be a metaphor, right? Well, maybe not. If there's something that bothers you, it's important to Almighty God. He can handle it. If it affects you, He wants to hear about it. And we have a need to share it. During the 4th century, there was a Syrian Christian. His name at the time was John of Antioch. You remember, Jerusalem was the beginning place where the gospel, obviously Jesus was risen and the church got started. But from there, it was to expand. And the real strength and stronghold from there became Antioch. And this guy, they gave him a nickname, a new name in church history. It was called Chrysostom, and which means golden mouthed. Every time this guy opened his mouth, the word came out or prayer came out. Here's what an early brother in Christ of ours said about prayer, and I quote, "The potency or the power of prayer has subdued the strength of fire. It has bridled the rage of lions, hushed anarchy to rest, extinguished wars, appeased the elements, expelled demons, burst the chains of death, expanded the fates of heaven, assuaged disease, dispelled frauds, rescued cities from destruction, stayed the sun in its course, arrested the progress of the thunderbolt. There is in prayer an all-sufficiency, a treasure undiminished, a mine which is never exhausted, a sky unobscured by clouds, a heaven unruffled by the storm. It is the root, the fountain, and the mother of a thousand blessings. James has been trying to tell us all the way through this little book that all of life is to be bathed in prayer. Did you know that prayer is a way of loving people? If you love someone, pray for them. Just mentioning their name, when you pray, spiritually, you're no longer here alone upon the earth. But spiritually, we are translated because we're in Christ, in heavenly places, and before the very glassy sea throne of Almighty God. And to bring someone's name that you love and that you care about, and just the energy of your own desire to bring them before your Father and to pray for them and to help them, is a powerful, tremendous, supernatural way of loving them. Now, notice the prayer of the righteous is both powerful and effective. I like this. Notice that what he did not say. He did not say the prayer of the super spiritual is effective. Some people think, well, Pastor Ray, you're a pastor, or somebody else that you would say, well, they pray, surely God would hear. But what, me, my prayers, I don't know if they really get through or they're that powerful or whatever. That's not what James said. The prayer of the righteous. You say, well, I'm not that righteous. Well, it's not about you. It's about Jesus and his righteousness. Trust me, we are all in the same boat. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the righteousness we have isn't ours. It's given. It's Christ's righteousness. So to be righteous just means to be in Christ, to be a believer. And if you are a believer in Jesus, when you pray, the Father hears and responds when you pray in the name of his Son. It touches him when we pray in the name of Jesus. And we may exercise this power daily. Now, I am convinced that both of these statements I read about the power of prayer, I believe that that is very true. I literally believe that wars have been stopped, not by policy and dialogue and all the rest of it, but a small group who prayed in the name of the Lord. Read the book of Daniel along with three friends and the power that these... Daniel is called by the angels, O most beloved of the Lord. Most beloved of the Lord, Daniel. Also the author of the book of Revelation, John, is called the Beloved, John the Beloved, very precious to the Lord. Why? These, Daniel and John, were both men of prayer. And so pray for one another and lift up your needs before the Lord and go before him and pray about anything and pray about everything. Now, regarding confession, he starts off this verse in 16 and he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. He's talking about the fact that, to be open and honest, that we are sinners, that we struggle. It means that our Father in heaven likes it when in community and in small groups or with another trusted brother or sister, you open up and say, hey, you know what? I have not been doing very, very well. And I've really been struggling. And here's what I've been going through. And I've tried to, have a good stiff upper lip and it's just tearing me up inside. I can't get over it. I have tried. I've got a root of bitterness and I know that it's wrong, but I just can't seem to get breakthrough. Or I'm upset about something and I've laid it before the Lord again and again and again in my own prayers, but I just keep taking it back. Being vulnerable, being open, being honest in that way, going and saying, brother, would you pray for me? Now listen, when you do that, people are not going to look down on you because the Bible says there's no temptation given but such as is common to all men. Really, I mean, one of the mistakes that we make is we have in our own minds this imaginary category of people that are above us and sometimes below us. And we grade ourselves on this curve. Well, there's some people better and some people worse. That's not how God sees it. We're all in the same boat. We're all human beings. Whatever you struggle with, whatever you've felt, whatever pressures you've been through, do you realize that by now millions and billions of people have been exactly where you are? And we have now in this generation a slice of just what is common to man going all the way back to the Garden of Eden. So when you open up, there's nothing new under the sun, as it were, but there is something extremely powerful. James says that if, read it again, he says, confess your trespasses, and if we can put it in that context, or your weaknesses, your faults, your struggling, to one another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. So that's a very practical thing that we can do virtually, daily, as well in our prayers. Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. This is why I've encouraged small groups, home groups, discipleship groups, and getting into a small enough group where you can do all these one another's. The Bible talks about love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, be hospitable to one another. That happens in those small groups. Now, verse 17, he gives us an illustration of prayer. And I love this. I mean, we don't have time to go through the whole story, but here in verse 17 and 18, it says, Elijah. So James has given us a little truth about prayer. Now he's going to give us an illustration. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Man, I love Elijah. I love the story of Elijah. And it conjures up some of the most powerful and emotional and exciting stories anywhere in the Bible. Probably the most famous is the story of Elijah confronting the prophets of Baal. This was an embarrassing time in Israel's history. They're God's chosen people. I mean, God has revealed himself literally, physically, supernaturally in a cloud during the day of his presence, a pillar of fire at night. Bread has rained from heaven, water's come out of a rock, the marvelous Exodus and all the rest. And they're moving forward. And now they're worshiping in the land God led them to other gods and goddesses. And not only that, they're incorporating all the practices and lifestyles that went along with these other gods. And sometimes you don't know if it's that they're interested in the gods or the lifestyles or which comes first, but they all end up in the same place. Elijah is not the only prophet, but he feels like it, and he's one of the last guys. And so finally, he comes up with a challenge to Ahab and Jezebel, and he goes, you know what? People in our day are confused. They don't know which one's the real God. And a lot of people think that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is no longer available or real. He goes, let's have a contest on the top of Mount Carmel. We'll put a sacrifice up there. You get your prophets. You call on your God Baal. He was their favorite. And I'll call upon the Lord God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Whoever answers by fire, let him be God. I mean, this was going to be huge. You know, this was like a national, you know, survivor. Which God's going to show up and bring fire? So the Baal, you know, the quick story is that the Baal guys, they pray all day long, and Baal never shows up. They cry, they dance, they cut themselves. This is the funny part to me. They cut themselves so they're bleeding and laying on rocks to get Baal to feel sorry for them to come down, but he lets them bleed. So finally, Elijah goes, okay, you guys have had your day, and I like to say Baal bailed. He didn't show. He was a no-show. So finally, Elijah goes, he repairs, first of all, the altar of the Lord, builds it, puts the little stones back up, drenches it with water, says one prayer at the time of the evening sacrifice. All right. O God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true creator and redeemer and lover of Israel, come by fire and reveal yourself now. And the glory and the fire of God comes and it bursts into flames on the top of that mountain. And a marvelous, glorious work of God happens. Elijah, that story goes on. He had supernatural strength. He raised the dead. He was fed by angels. He foretold famine and rain. He heard the voice of God on the mountain in a special way. And finally, he vanishes from the earth in a chariot of fire. Not bad. What a guy. What a radical guy. But James' point is, and what he says, is that Elijah was a man just like you and me. The same thoughts, same feelings, same emotions, just like you and me. We, again, have a tendency, oh, sure, Elijah was a prophet. You know, he walked around with his hair blowing on fire and there's glory all around him. No, he was a man just like you and me. And so what do we learn from Elijah then? Why did God choose this man to do extraordinary things through? And is he an exception or is he a window through which, and that's what James is saying, God wants to do this for all of us. Elijah was a man of like passion. You can pray like Elijah. You can connect with a God who answers when you call, who delivers heavenly fire for such a time as this. What do we learn from Elijah? He prayed fervently. In other words, he prayed passionately. Elijah's prayer was not a laid-back request. God, it would be really nice if it wouldn't rain for a little while. When Elijah prayed, he let everything in him out, emotionally, passionately, poured his heart out to God in a hot, zealous intensity, and God heard his prayer. Elijah's heart was a whirlwind of passion, you might say. And we could go on and talk about Jacob, who wrestled with the angel of God, and Hannah, who agonized before the Lord, and yet God heard her prayer. Ezra, I put the scripture in there, having torn my garment and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord God, to the Lord my God. Many, many examples of why did certain men and women, whom were all common like humanity, how did they get their stories in the Bible? Was there something that these common humans did that got our Father's attention and allowed him to display his supernatural power and glory? And there is a common denominator. It's called fervent prayer, passionate prayer, earnest prayer. In other words, you don't live here. These are special moments and times in your life. But there come times in your life where you can't fold your hands and say nice little spiritual prayers. It is not what the situation calls for you. As Jesus said, go get alone. You don't want to be praying before people. And in fact, if you're really going to get honest with God, you don't want people to hear. And you want to just get where nobody will hear. This is just you and God. And you let out everything in your heart and you pour your heart out in fervency to connect with him honestly, deeply. God loves that kind of prayer. I have had several times, seasons in my life, at different times where I've had to go get totally alone, where now it's raw. It's almost frightening to be that raw and that open and that honest and cry out to God. But I can tell you in those moments when I was able to enter into that place with God, here's what I have learned. God answers. He answers prayer. God delivers. God brings heavenly fire. God speaks. God gives you literal, tangible evidence that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He shows up. And, you know, you move from a place of, oh, I believe, as if you're always trying to work yourself up to believe. You move into an area where you say, I not only believe, I know. I know that God is good. I know that He is faithful. I know He can be trusted. I know He will never leave me or forsake me. I know because I have tasted for myself and seen that the Lord is good and that He delivers and that His plans for me are not for evil, but all things work together for good. I know that now, not just because the Bible tells me so and I believe it. I know it by personal experience. I know. These come at those dramatic moments. Elijah had the mountaintop experience. He had the cave experience. And it was that passion. That's what James is saying. That passion and that fervency, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or a woman has great power. It's very powerful. And it is very effective. And, you know, I remind you that James, this is our send-off and our goodbye to James, the half-brother of our Lord, his nickname 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem was Camel Knees. He was known for how much time he loved to go to the temple and get on his knees and pray. And when you would see James, and if you would see his knees, you know, like probably kids saw his knees, and they, wow, Mom, look at that guy's knees. Looks like a camel's knees. It was because he spent so much time upon them. The guy lived in the presence of the Lord. He lived in heaven before the throne of God and went on to be not only an early leader of the church, but an early martyr who formerly had not even believed in his brother until after the resurrection of Christ and Jesus appeared unto James. What a meeting that must have been when Jesus said, James, brother. And James looks and sees his brother that was crucified, resurrected in a glorified body, and that he is the Messiah. How awesome and amazing is that? And so I think it's very personal to James. The last thing he leaves us with is the power of prayer. And then to close with verses 19 and 20. He says, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You want to talk about the best, most satisfying, effective, fervent prayer to pray. Pray for those whom you know and love who have wandered away to come back. And you know, James, I think, was the example of this. James was a true Israelite. He had wandered away. He had not believed in Jesus, and he came back. And I think it was because of the prayers of those who had loved him, and not the least of which was Jesus. Father, I pray for my brother, James. And James came back to the Lord. And we want to pray our families into God's house and into God's kingdom.
Great encouragement as we close out our studies today in the book of James with Pastor Ray Bentley here on Maranatha Radio. And today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called The Power of Prayer. And you can get Pastor Ray's entire series in James on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Do you like surprises? Well, you'll find a number of them in Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. It's for those who are real students of Bible prophecy and for those who want to be. And it digs deeper and uncovers insights perhaps you've never heard before. Some of the things Pastor Ray uncovered surprised even him.
I think one of the most unique characters that totally blew my mind that I found out is probably Jewish was Christopher Columbus. It has huge implications for the United States, for our country, for America, but also for the relationship between Jews and Gentiles.
For many years, Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. Now he's combined that unique perspective with his knowledge of Bible prophecy to bring you the Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan can be seen in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray explains the many ways Israelis are hearing from God today. Let us send you your own personal copy of the Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for the start of an epic study in the Book of Beginnings, the Book of Genesis. More from God's Word next time here on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.